This is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. The wait is over.
Tonight, I can stand here and say that I will be the Democratic nominee for the President of the United States of America.
After 6 months of primaries, caucuses, debates, and endless campaigning, Senator Barack Obama is the presumptive Democratic presidential nominee. We still have to use the word presumptive because, though he has enough delegates to make the nomination, he hasn't gotten the official party nomination yet. Senator Obama seems destined to go down in the history books as the first African-American nominee of a major political party. Now he's got to face the presumptive Republican nominee, John McCain. And what about Senator Hillary Clinton? She hasn't announced her next move. For more on the scramble to the White House, we have two of our political gurus. Ron Walters is a professor of government and politics at the University of Maryland. He's also author of Freedom Is Not Enough, Black Voters, Black Candidates, and American Presidential Politics. Plus, we've got Robert George, associate editorial page editor for the New York Post. Hi, gentlemen.
Hey there.
How are you?
I'm doing great. So, you know, it's over, or maybe it's just beginning. Barack Obama is the presumptive Democratic nominee for the 2008 presidential race. Ron, you worked on Reverend Jackson's 1984 and 88 campaigns. What were you feeling when you saw Obama give his victory speech last night?
Well, I thought that it was the fruition of what we had done, and not just us, going all the way back to Fannie Lou Hamer and her tremendous speech at the Democratic Convention in 1964, but coming up through Shirley Chisholm and all of the people who contributed to this. And I think that we haven't really talked enough about that foundation, because it is that that really yielded Barack Obama. But certainly it was a moment of feeling that the hard work that we put into two campaigns in 84 and 88 had borne fruit.
Robert, today Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice called Obama's nomination an extraordinary development for the United States. Even for people who don't have a Democratic Party affiliation, do you think that there's a sense of pride among many people who are Republicans, independents, et cetera?
Oh yeah, without question. I mean, I certainly feel that way myself. You know, Obama is we're part of the same generation. I was born in Trinidad. Grew up with my mother. Lived with actually a foster white family in England for a few years as well. So much of Obama's biography resonates with me personally and with others of my generation. That you know, regardless of where we are politically, it's still a wonderful chapter in the ongoing American story, and it's fantastic to see this.
All right. Well, the Democrats have their presumptive nominee, but Senator Hillary Clinton is kind of playing her cards close to the vest on what her next move is. Let's listen to some of what she said last night.
You have voted because you wanted to take back the White House. And because of you, we won together the swing states necessary to get to 270 electoral votes.
Okay, when you listen to that, what do you think? I mean, Ron, when you listen to that, who is she at this point? I mean, is she a person who's waiting for instructions? Is she someone who's about to give some orders? What are you hearing?
She's in a negotiating framework. I remember when we, 84 and 88, lost. Both Michael Dukakis and Mondale thought we ought to go home, sit down in the corner. We said, no, with the political resources that we have, we're going to use them to negotiate. And that's exactly what she's doing. She is saying, in effect, I want 18 million votes, tremendous political resource, and with that, I am going to build a credibility case now, not just for the presidency, but also for what comes now. And as a matter of fact, in that speech, she even asked people to call in, email her, let her know what they are thinking. Well, this is the start of another kind of campaign, and she's trying to build credibility for whatever it is she wants.
Robert, some folks say an Obama-Clinton ticket could seal the White House for the Democrats. 36 million people voted in the Democratic primaries and contest. But it could also have a lot of negatives, an Obama-Clinton ticket. And Now, even former President Jimmy Carter told an audience in England that it would be a mistake for Obama to pick Clinton as his VP. He said, quote, that would just accumulate the negative aspects of both candidates. Why don't you break down what you think the pros and cons of an Obama-Clinton ticket would be?
Yeah, this may be one of those cases where a stopped clock is right once, and I think Jimmy Carter is actually right here. Obviously, one of the pros is, as Ron just mentioned, she has 18 million supporters. She's made a case that she won the popular vote amongst the Democratic primaries. Particularly, her base is a part of the country and voters that Obama needs in terms of blue collar voters, white voters, white women, and so forth. So those are the pros. The con is, and I guess I couldn't, given that Hillary Clinton's talking about this, a con is the correct phrase. Is number one is a lot of the baggage that comes with that. There is a large segment of this country that does not trust Bill and Hillary either separately or together, and I think actually that part of the country has expanded now to roughly half of the Democratic Party. And part of Barack Obama's message is about change and turning the page on the past. And I think for a lot of voters, Democrats and Republicans, part of that change means enough of this Bush-Clinton stuff. And I think that by putting her on the ticket, that really undercuts a really major section of his rhetorical attraction.
Now, let me go back to you, Ron. There is another statement that really kind of touched some people. BET founder Bob Johnson says he's going to try to make the Congressional Black Caucus lobby for an Obama-Clinton ticket. He's been a staunch Clinton supporter. First of all, does he have a prayer of getting what he wants? And secondly, what does it say about sort of differences of opinion among African Americans?
Well, I think that's going to be a hard sell for Bob. I think that, number one, he lacks the credibility to make that case. I mean, you go back into the campaign and look at the statements that he's made. I doubt if they're the kind of statements that members of the Congressional Black Caucus would listen to or take seriously, except for the people already in the caucus who support Hillary Clinton. So I think that he's not going to be that successful. In addition to that, I think given what has happened in terms of all of the racial comments made coming out of the Clinton campaign.
Absolutely.
African Americans probably would be loath to have her on the ticket. As a matter of fact, people have asked me, well, do you think that these attitudes are going to be permanent? Yes, I think they're going to be permanent unless they can arrange some form of restitution. And I don't know whether or not this gives them that opportunity or not, but certainly there's tremendous deep emotion in the black community now about the Clintons.
And that, you know, that speaks to the point that President Carter made about rather than combining their strengths, a ticket may actually combine some of these hostilities, because for a lot of the white voters that might be brought in by Hillary Clinton, there might be a lot of black voters who are obviously still going to support Obama, but really would be turned off and feel like that you're in a sense rewarding somebody who tried to belittle you and is making allusions to assassination comments just a week ago.
Well, let me ask you this. This is an incredibly important question, Robert. You know how there's, you know, the Clinton, Bill Clinton office is up in Harlem. Do you think that he's going to be able to go to Sylvia's and get the same plate of beans?
You know, it is very funny that you ask that, because one of my colleagues at the Post is a features writer, and there was a big event at the Apollo the other day, and she was asking people to ask some questions about some of the people who were attending, Denzel Washington, Spike Lee, and so forth. And one of the questions I sent to the reporter was, I said, well, see if you can track down Spike or one of them and ask, if Bill goes into the Apollo, what's the response going to be now? And I think it's an open question, because even though on election day, on primary day in New York, Harlem actually did go narrowly for Hillary Clinton, the hometown girl, as it was, that has changed since in those intervening months, and the African American community in Harlem is, I think, really upset genuinely with with what Bill and Hillary have pulled. So Bill might want to get a food taster when he goes into Sylvia's.
Uh-oh. Well, you know, that lightning has struck because I was in Sylvia's last week and asked that question.
Oh, there you go.
And there was a woman sitting next to me eating, and I asked, have you seen Bill? And we're joking because I heard them talking about the campaign. And she said, no, and he better not show his face around here.
Well, you know, when you knew it was all over when Toni Morrison rejected his ghetto pass to being the first black president. So I think he's got a lot of bridges to rebuild.
All right. Well, let's turn for a second to Senator John McCain. You can't count him out. He is the presumptive Republican nominee. And in some ways, he's been overshadowed in the media because the Democratic primary race continued. Now he is front and center, and with an unpopular war, low ratings for the current president, it should seem to some analysts like the Democrats could walk away with this election. But you shouldn't count him out. Right, Robert?
Go ahead.
Yeah.
I'll get into both of you. Just
quickly, that is quite right. I mean, I think one thing that the Republicans don't have a lot going for them in this campaign, but one thing that they do have going is they nominated the best Republican to play in this environment. He's somebody who has a history of not bowing to the party line. There's a long history of his tension with the current he could actually put on his own T-shirt saying, you know, that I was disliking George W. Bush before disliking George W. Bush was cool, kind of thing. So he's got that going for him. He also was the only Republican in the field who, you know, really stared back on the whole anti-immigration aspect. So he has credibility in terms of going to in the Latino community, which frankly also came out in the primary, is not quite yet, you know, taken in by Barack Obama. So McCain does have a few strengths that he can play.
Let me, Ron, before we get to you, let me play you a little bit of the back and forth between these two candidates. Here's McCain and Obama.
Americans ought to be concerned about the judgment of a presidential candidate who says he's ready to talk in person and without conditions with tyrants from Havana to Pyongyang, but hasn't traveled to Iraq to meet with General Petraeus and see for himself the progress he threatens to reverse.
John McCain has spent a lot of time talking about trips to Iraq in the last few weeks, but maybe if he spent some time taking trips to the cities and towns that have been hardest hit by this economy, cities in Michigan and Ohio and right here in Minnesota, he'd understand the kind of change that people are looking for.
Ron, what do you think is going to go down in terms of strategies that these two men have to tackle each other?
Well, I think that this is going to be between the two of them, if you let it happen, a debate about foreign policy. Because McCain thinks that that's his strength. And all of a sudden, Barack Obama is released from having to deal with a woman to whom he had to give a lot of deference and respect, to really now tackle John McCain. I think that if you listen to John McCain's speech last night, you didn't hear much new. As a matter of fact, in some respects, I was told by some people he sounded like a Democrat. There were no new ideas there. He seemed to be parroting Democratic themes on energy and the environment and so forth. And that was amazing to me because it seemed to me I was asking myself, how is this going to play among his base? Probably not very well.
All right, I have to go. I hear Robert chuckling.
I was just going to chuckle. I just wanted to quote Ron Walters saying that John McCain had no new ideas. He was just parroting Democratic themes.
Uh-oh.
That was a great statement, which I think we may need to start spreading
you
around as
it.
Republicans.
All right, okay, guys. Well, on that note, that's all we have time for. Always great to talk to you.
Thanks a lot, Ron. Take care, Ron.
Okay, Robert George is Associate Editorial Page Editor for the New York Post. He spoke with us from the NPR studios in New York. And Ron Walters is a professor of government and politics at the University of Maryland. He's also the author of Freedom is Not Enough, Black Voters, Black Candidates, and American Presidential Politics.